And welcome to Early Late Nights. This is a pre-recorded message and introduction for a podcast. Please stay tuned and listen with your humanic ear holes and have a great time with the show. Please listen closely to your host. His name is Kieran Marchant. Enjoy the show. Had to cheap out then, didn't have anybody in. So there was a service for an announcer, an introducer, a sidekick, and I was like, man, let's use that service. So let's hope that it didn't sound too bad. It sounded bad, didn't it? It's fine. Welcome to Early Late Nights, the Explosion Network's esports news show right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork. We come to you live every Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time to bring you the latest news in esports and gaming, as well as 24 hours later on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. there is the video on demand go up live on our youtube.com/explosionnetwork, and also the audio version goes live same time on all good podcast services. So if you haven't been around to the show, or if you haven't had a chance to catch up, please make sure you jump onto it. Make sure you get involved, you subscribe, you like, you do all that. I'll leave that to the end though for you to see what we mean, see what I mean about the show. Hope you had a fantastic start to your week. Right here in Victoria, it's a public holiday. I go back to work tomorrow. But over the weekend, we had a fantastic week for esports. We were traded to the League of Legends Grand Finals for 2018. We had BlizzCon 2018 happen over the weekend, which was packed with a billion announcements and events and tournaments and World Cups. So we will be going through, for the majority of the show, we're going to be breaking down BlizzCon 2018, going around all and everything that happened in the show, as well as going into World Cup. But we're going to dive into the League of Legends Championships. One of the things I want to mention before we go in, because I want to admit it when I talk from BlizzCon as a whole, Blizzard, you went full Activision. Diablo fans from around the world have had some really good announcements lately, with Diablo coming to the Switch, with Diablo 2 being apparently worked on for remastering. So I suppose that Diablo fans from across the world came to BlizzCon pretty excited to see exactly what would play out for their favorite franchise. And they got a mobile game. They got Diablo Immortal. And people were pissed. I kind of understand why you were pissed, because it didn't seem like Blizzard really understood or had taken notice of Command & Conquer Mobile that was talked about at E3, or every other mobile game that major developers have ever released that the general gaming community really fucking hates. But at the same time, gamers, stop being entitled pricks. Not all of you, just some of you, stop being entitled. Like, it wasn't the best move by Diablo, but, you know, there was a video that was out across the world about a fan that came up in a Q&A and asked if this was an April Fool's joke, and it's like, well, no, douchebag, it's an actual game. So I'm sure people will play it. It's supposedly about getting everybody involved with Diablo. There are rumors that the Diablo 4 announcement was pulled from BlizzCon this year. So I think, honestly, looking back at the Diablo talk, if they had gone into Diablo 4 just a little bit, even 20 seconds at the end, it would have probably saved most of the conference to say, hey, this is a little something to bide you over until Diablo 4 comes out. We are working on it. Much like Bethesda did with Elder Scrolls when that was released. Well, not released, but at their E3 conference where the new Elder Scrolls game was hinted at. To say, and they laid it down that, hey, we're going to be here for a very long time. It's going to take a while. It's cool. Don't worry about it. Like, it's all peachy. So not the best move, and I think that was a bit of Activision coming through into Blizzard that I hope isn't a common thing. I hope that's not a big thing, but hey, it is something that we had to experience and see. So meh. But let's get back into the show. Let's move on forward from that nonsense. Remember, developers make games. You might not like every game, and that's okay. But don't bitch about games, even though you're supposed to like it on purpose, but whatevs. Let's go into League of Legends. So League of Legends had its World Championships. The Grand Finals happened Saturday night for Fnatic and IG Gaming. And I was very excited going into this event. I thought it was going to be a very big matchup for a lot of fans across the world, with Fnatic being, you know, that European team that haven't been to a final, or pretty much any Western team that hasn't been to a grand final of a World Championships of League since the first season with the original Fnatic roster. So I was really excited, and IG coming back as the first Chinese team since 2014. So, hey, what we should have been in for a very competitive, close set of five games of League of Legends. That didn't happen, people. That did not happen, and I'm really sad to say that. What we had play out was we had a full just destruction. IG Gaming managed to take it over Fnatic 3-0. Fnatic did not seem like they were prepared for the games whatsoever. Fnatic was very confident with the grand final going into it, considering in the group stages that both teams had tossed back wins back and forth. There was, you know, IG was a very different team in the group stages of the World Championships. Words are hard, Tranquilo, yes. But they trade wins, so Fnatic had this confidence going in. And that was quickly stomped out by IG. IG took it to Fnatic for a whole three games in a row. Like, the pressure was unfathomable. It was quite amazing the amount of pressure that was applied by the Chinese team. We had, as I spoke about on last week, on Friday, that it really came down to, you know, who was going to stand up out of their star players, out of their mid laner and their top laner. And, you know, the safe lane had its, you know, bottom lane had its moments. But for me, looking at the games, it really was down to Rookie and the Shy in the middle and top lanes pulling out an amazing showing on all three games. The Shy just is a beast in that top lane. He pretty much murdered any player that came up against him in the top lane. Beepo had a really good performance and consistency throughout the whole tournament, but the Shy was on a different level. Like, the Shy was on this kind of tear of just pure rampaging focus, and it was fantastic to watch and fantastic to see as a whole from the IG team. And that continued the whole trend throughout the whole three games, was that we had IG and Fnatic come toe-to-toe. They really found a hard-fought battle across it, and Fnatic just seemed to be a little bit far. They had this confidence going into it, and then IG came with such pressure. They applied such force to the whole event that it was just nothing. Fnatic could not keep up. Rookie pulled out an amazing performance on the mid lane. His mid lane control was something that mid laners who aspire to be in the, you know, the top tier of gamers should watch and look out for, and see how he controls the other mid laner and the actions he takes for roaming and ganking. It was done amazingly well, and to see Fnatic be put in a position where every fight, even though where it was looking like it could go their way, they were always at a kill disadvantage, always at a gold disadvantage. Not even superstars like Rekkles could pull through, even though he hard fought in the bottom lane for any kind of position and advantage, but he just couldn't get it from IG. And a lot of finals, we see teams that maybe in the second or third game, they kind of step back a little bit. They don't apply the same amount of pressure, but IG applied that pressure across all three games. Their hero picks were varied, and they had amazing teamwork. And for the League of Legends world, this means a lot to them, for, you know, for the Chinese team to stand up for IG, who is a juggernaut in the Dota 2 world, to stand up again, once again, in the League of Legends world and take out a world championship here. I'm excited to see what happens next year. With teams like Fnatic, after a loss like this, they're going to stand up and put a lot more effort into their team. Maybe not worry about their confidence as much, and start actually applying pressure when it comes to the game and what goes around it. That's pretty much it for League of Legends for the year. There'll be a few minor events, but OBL won't start up again, I don't think, until next year. So keep it tuned for Early Late Nights. We'll give you all the latest news, information, updates when it comes to the whole League of Legends event. We'll be keeping up with every single one, as much information as we can, with regular updates here on the show. So make sure that you continue to do that. Hey, good. I told you that. You're going to do it. Proud. High five. We did it together, team. Now, that's enough League of Legends. BlizzCon 2018 happened throughout the weekend and far out it was. Small apology. I said it started, the Overwatch World Cup started Sunday. Started Saturday. My bad. I corrected on Twitter. If you didn't see it on Twitter, follow me on Twitter for next time. At your boy Ringo. Make sure you keep up with all the latest news. We had a whole bunch of announcements that happened throughout the event, with World of Warcraft kicking it off with a new story segment coming for Battle for Azeroth, with featuring Hylai with Saurfang being captured by the Alliance, and it continues that with the new potential raid that's coming out. It's a good place for World of Warcraft players, but it isn't the thing I was most excited for when it came to Warcraft as the lore. Warcraft 3 has been announced to be reforged, remastered. It is coming out with a full new, full 4K resolution update. Everything's going to be worked on nice and hard. It's going to look... But the biggest thing for me is custom games are coming back for Warcraft 3. You can pre-order your copy of Warcraft now, so make sure you go if you... excited for that game. Or why I suggest trying Warcraft 3 was for this custom games. If you don't know the history of Warcraft 3, you should really go look into that game, because where that game excelled was not just its campaign, which was pretty fantastic and spawned the World of Warcraft series, but it further pushed this amazing world into a place where custom games could be created within it. And the full client tools, much like Gmod is now, were there to be used to create wonderful worlds and amazing game types and in these maps. And you got everything from Werewolf, which was a game much like Trouble in Terrorist Town, where one of you is a werewolf and you, during the night, you have to try and kill your allies. During the day, you're all human, trying to build up your little bases, your little houses, and staying and surviving. But what I most love about Warcraft 3 is, you may not know that Warcraft 3 spawned the game Defense of the Ancients, also known as Dota. And that began within Warcraft 3 as a custom game that was fully built up by the one and only Ice Frog. And that spawned into a whole genre, that spawned into MOBAs in general, that spawned into there being Dota 2, League of Legends, Heroes of New Earth, Heroes of the Storm. We had everything spawn off this one custom game that was built within Warcraft 3, which was truly amazing and not something we'd really seen before. With how much Dota took off and how exciting it was amazing to see that explored, and I'm really excited to see that explored again when Warcraft 3 comes out. I'm excited especially to see if somebody goes back and recreates Dota in Warcraft 3. That would be really fun. There's a whole bunch of game modes and tower defense games spawned from Warcraft 3, or at least found a level of complexity that it hadn't had before, which is a fantastic thing. Hearthstone had its nationals championship with China taking it out over Brazil, 3-0, clean games. It was fantastic to watch the Hearthstone community come together. It was unlucky when you watched the initial opening ceremony that the Hearthstone Arena's mics weren't working, so the Hearthstone presentation had to be brought to the main stage, and nobody in the crowd cared about Hearthstone for the main stage, which was kind of sad. But they did announce that Rustakhan's Rumble is the next expansion coming out. It's going to be heavily featured in like a arena-style Rumble, with you assisting a future combatant in the Rumble itself and working up through the ranks. Obviously, there's going to be a whole range of cards released with it and a new single-player game mode, with new mechanics being brought in once again in this expansion. So that should flip the meta for Hearthstone on its head and really bring it forward into, hopefully, in line. Let's hope there's counter spells and more things. Go check out the Hearthstone website to see more about the expansion and fully devolve into the cards. We'll have more information on it when the expansion is closer to release. StarCraft 2 had a fantastic tournament with the Worlds happening once again. StarCraft, you know, this is the OG esport. This was the thing that was massive in South Korea, was a really big basis to what we know is now as esports. And it was really good to see the two players come through, Serral and Stats. Stats being a legend of the event and generally unbeatable when it comes to the grand finals of the StarCraft tournaments. So to see Serral to come through to this and really push into the game, it started with a quick 3-0 victory to Serral, and it looked bad until Stats managed to take a game 4, Stats took game 5, and then Serral managed to wrap it up with a game 4 victory, with the final scoreline being 4 maps to 2. To Serral, it was a fantastic showing. His Broodling control and Zergs were quite amazing to see that come through, and that aggression being played through that Stats couldn't really keep up with until that third and until that fourth and fifth maps. But it was really good. Serral's a new up-and-coming Finnish talent that is fantastic for the event. He had a ridiculous amount of points when it came into coming into it compared to the nearest competitor. And they both fought through Stats, and Serral deserved to be in the grand final. But Serral was just on another level when it actually came to the game. So it was really good to see that coming into that whole six maps of StarCraft II. We also had my favorite event, Overwatch. If you haven't watched the show before, fucking love Overwatch. Overwatch was fucking awesome. And it is awesome. I play a lot of it if you didn't know. But Overwatch has gotten to be my favorite time for BlizzCon, because every BlizzCon they release a new animation or a new cinematic, animated short, whatever you kids wish to call it. And they show a range of characters throughout it. And this one is my new favorite. So it was titled Reunion, and we knew that was the title of it going into the event. And we didn't know what was going to play out. I think because of the graphic design and the art for BlizzCon 2018, we knew McCree was going to be heavily featured. And what did feature really heavily was Route 66. The whole animation takes place in Route 66 with McCree back at the old restaurant, or the diner, as they call it in America. Back in the diner where he runs into the Deadlock gang after fighting with a roguish companion or former companion of McCree's called Ash and her gang, the Deadlock gang featuring Bob the Omnic. After a short gun battle, which was fantastically done, we then see McCree getting the piece of equipment he wants after from the train attack. He reveals another robot, which we now know as the name of Echo, as she came out of the crate. And so that left us in an interesting position, because normally the animations or the cinematics are really, you know what they're trying to show you. You understand what they're bringing to the table with this animation, you know? What they're doing in the whole event, what they're trying to show you. They're trying to show you a new map. Are they trying to explain a character? Are they bringing out a new character? Or a new map, sorry. Fuck if I know. But what we saw is an interesting feat, and it's my favorite cinematic because it left me wondering who the new character was and what this was trying to show me, because it had three potential characters that could have been, in my opinion. There could have been Ash, this cowgirl with, or gang leader, that was a former friend of McCree's with this, this old Smith & Wesson style rifle. Or it could have been this Bob, this Omnic, this massive Omnic with a bowler hat and this massive mutton choppy mustache and guns and just seemed like a massive tank. Or it could be this new Echo, which is this robot, this, you know, that clearly has a really close relationship with McCree, as she reveals herself in the conversation that they have between them, only to see her design being very probably agile by the looks of it, and she seemed to float in the air a little bit. She had these kind of laid back sections, and for me it led to the point where it was like, okay, so what is the which character are we getting here? I would have been really happy if they were like, you know what, this year we're giving you three characters, we're giving you a new tank, a new DPS, and new support. And I would have been like, that is the best decision ever. Good job, Overwatch. Good job, Blizzard. I was really excited. And Jeff Kaplan came out afterwards and hinted at which character it could possibly be. And in the end, we technically got two of them. Jeff directly mentioned that Echo was no longer going to be, was somebody that was going to come out later, and they needed a bit more work with her. But the person that stole the cinematic, in everybody's opinion, was Ash, this female gunslinger with this awesome rifle, who displayed a whole range of either just character and ability throughout the whole cinematic. But it came with the bonus of Bob. Bob the Omnic, hashtag Omnics Can Sweat, as we see throughout the whole thing. But what we knew now is Ashe is this new mid-range DPS that's going to be filling the gap between McCree and Widow in the Overwatch world. It's going to be... She's going to be good long-range, good in that mid-range battle, but also having the abilities to kind of move around and fight close as well. The full range of abilities that were announced and revealed for Ashe were her rifle being her primary weapon. She has a carriage gun, I believe it's called, which is like a sawn-off shotgun almost that she can use to do damage, push enemies away, but also propel herself. She can move herself with it. There's also the dynamite, where she throws out dynamite. After a couple of seconds, it'll explode. Or she can shoot it for an instant impact that'll do explosion damage on impact, as well as fire damage to anybody who gets hit by the explosion, any enemies, that is. You're not going to be lighting your allies on fire. But the ulti is the most interesting part of her kit, with Bob being her ultimate. Bob gets called in, Bob, do something! And he runs in, he'll charge people, knock them up into the air, and then sit into a spot for, I can't remember how long though, but sits in a spot like a turret, and shoots at everybody within that area. Bob is a fully, functioning character, which will allow him to be nano boosted and healed throughout. It's a really interesting point. And the best thing for me is, being a lore nerd, is that they're treating Bob like a character because he is an Omnic. They're not treating him like another turret. They're not, you know, treating him like Torbjorn's turret or Symmetra turrets. He is a character that can be nano boosted. He can be healed. He can be bubbled. It's going to be fantastic to see exactly how he plays out. If you want to see more Ashe, or if you're excited to see more of Ashe, please make your way over and download the PTR right now. God damn it, Tranquilo just said, the main thing that he took from the show was that McCree went from boinking a babe to boinking a bot. No, stop it. But anyway, the whole event was, the whole Ashe's position is going to be really interesting in the Overwatch meta. It's going to be really fun to see her being played in professional play. Jump on the PTR and give her a go. She is live right now, so download that and have a look. There are some latency issues on the PTR for us Australians, but you'll get over it. You'll work it out. You'll still get a feel for the character. Check out some streams like Shore4, who's already been going bonkers on this hero, and I am totally excited to be a part of this, and I'm excited to watch pros get a hold of Ashe, especially in competitive play, because it's going to be so much fun to watch with the different tricks she can do and the momentum and the maneuverability that this character is going to provide for the game. Hopefully take out that GOATS comp, that 3-3 comp that was a menace throughout the World Cup and in competitive play now. So it's going to be really good. I'm sure we'll talk more about Ashe when she's released and go through the character a little bit more, some more strategy to use the character, and some hints and tips for it in the future. But alongside all of this, the Overwatch World Cup happened. The 8 best teams in the world coming from across the world fought through the event in 2 days in a best of, well, it was the top 8 that cut to the top 4, we cut to the top 2, which cut to the top 1. And it was fantastic. And there was a number of stories that came from this event. USA were the confident team and one of the heavy favorites for the tournament. Their team was this star-studded Overwatch League players lineup that featured heavily throughout the tournament. They were looking fantastic coming into it. And then quarterfinals, the UK come storming through. It looked a bit like USA's confidence and, underestimating UK's ability shot them in the ass a little bit as they, you know, fired through and didn't quite pull off the win, or couldn't. After the first map where they absolutely destroyed the UK, the UK's use of GOATS was fantastic to see. But USA goes out for the second year in a row in the quarterfinals. So, that's not good. It's, you know, I think obviously the US were looking for, you're looking ahead to South Korea in the semifinals. Didn't think UK were going to be much of a problem, but the UK have been putting in some effort, and we'll talk about a bit more about the UK later on. Australia's hopes, we had always had a hard time. We'd always had a hard moment ahead of us with the first match of the event for us being South Korea. I think other than the first map, the Australian team really put in a good showing. Trill looked amazing. The main tank player for Australia looked really good. Everybody had their moments throughout it. CKM, man, please, oh, why do you only play Farrowell on LAN or at events? I know you can play other characters really well. So, and, you know, Huss popped off on Widow at several times, which is fantastic to see. It was really good to see Ubershouts, who is a really big caster when it comes to the Overwatch League and Overwatch in general, has come forward. He's an Australian. He had come forward and explained that he understands Australia has such a hard time trialing for Overwatch League teams and Overwatch Contenders teams, because whenever we trial here, it's on 200 ping. It's on these, you know, these matches that are heavily unfavorable to the Australians to play versus people who are at that skill level but have a, you know, that advantage in the ping for the event. So now that they're in America right now, they were in Anaheim, Ubershouts came out and said, I'm contacting teams, I'm trying to get them trials again while they're in America. Trying to get them trialed so that they can properly get a chance, because there are some fantastic players throughout the Overwatch Australian team that deserve a chance. We've already had Color Hex go over, as I mentioned, who's New Zealand, but may as well be Australian. I honestly think that Punk, Kraken, Huss, Trill, pretty much the Trill, and even CKM, if he picks his game up and be a bit more consistent, deserve to be part of American team. So we'll keep an eye on the future. They have all the way to December 1st to lock in their signing. So we'll keep an eye out and see how that goes. Now, United Kingdom. United Kingdom were probably the most, you know, impressive team when it comes to unmatched ability other than China. Unexpected ability other than China in the event. And it was very surprising for all of us, because the UK had a rocky time against France in the group stages. They made it through in second, but they came out and they just showed this understanding of the playstyle of GOATs and that 3-3 composition that made them powerhouses to anybody who tried to run GOATs into them. And that was pretty much everybody but South Korea. And even when South Korea ran GOATs into them, they had problems. And so my favorite thing and my hope, or, you know, when we were watching, was Fusions on that team. Fusions and Kib deserved spots straight away, and Cruz deserved Overwatch League spots once again, much like Australian players. They play for the London Spitfires Academy team. They need to be picked up. And I was so happy to find out a couple hours ago that Fusions has been picked up by the Boston Uprising on a two-way contract, meaning he can be played in the Overwatch League as well as in Overwatch Contenders. So he can be playing in both the Contenders team and the Overwatch League team. Only four players can be signed to those contracts per team. So we're going to see a lot of Fusions throughout it if they're going to bring him up and, you know, tune him up more in Contenders and then bring him over to League once he's a bit more ready to show, even though the showing he put on in Overwatch World Cup was absolutely amazing. Now, China. China were... they were amazing. They beat team favorites such as, you know, Finland, or they had expected Finland to win straight out the gate. Canada was expected to, was another favorite of the tournament, but China came out and they put on a great show. Their style of, you know, anti-GOATs was so good, with their main tank players really stepping up. Leave was fucking amazing and deserves everything, and it was really good to see China's come through and really play this style that was very unexpected, going all the way through to the grand final where they fell short to South Korea. And that was because the thing that they'd got through on the Chinese team did so well, other than their individual plays, was playing against GOATs heavy teams. And South Korea don't do that. South Korea aren't a GOATs heavy lineup. They much prefer mechanical skill winning over with their DPS players, and far out did it win over with Carpe standing up, with Jonak popping off at many times throughout the whole tournament. South Korea looked amazing once again, but for the first time, they didn't look they didn't look undefeatable. Even though in the grand final that the two teams didn't match up properly and South Korea won in a pretty quick fashion, it was still something to behold and something for us to really enjoy and really get behind in the games. South Korea looked beatable. People were taking maps off of them. People were drawing with them. There was hope. Even though, you know, Fletter had amazing moments on his Pharah, and everybody on that team really performed amazingly. Anemo's Mercy play is fantastic. They look beatable for the first time in the World Cup history, really. And that's really exciting. That's really good to see. So I'm super excited. It was congratulations to South Korea for once again winning the World Cup. But I'm excited to see the World Cup next year and the progression of the Overwatch League to hopefully another team beating up and picking up. Finally, there being a victor other than South Korea in the World Cup. We've had them win 3 times. It's about time somebody else won, don't you think? Now, what happens with OWL? I think a lot of Overwatch League is now going to start picking up more and more players and more from the World Cup. I think the World Cup was a fantastic showing of ability. And what they did throughout the event was really, really good. I was really, really happy with them to see it. So I was really pumped to see that change and that expression, you know, that more players were getting the chance to show themselves off. So what we're going to see for Overwatch League is more teams are going to start picking up free agents across the board. Many of the players from the World Cup that aren't already signed with an Overwatch League team are free agents still. So definitely they can be signed in and they can be playing in the future. If the Aussies don't get signed up, that's completely fine. They just got signed with the Sydney Drop Bears. So we'll see them play for the Drop Bears, hopefully, in the season in the contenders if they don't make it to America. But I really hope that several of them do make it through to America now. And what if you say to me, Kieran, I want to be there one day. I want to play in the Overwatch League or I want to play in the World Cup. I want to be that good. I want to stand up to that. What I'd suggest you to do is go ahead. You can still download it. Go download the Overwatch Spectators Spectator client and go back and watch it. It's a fantastic resource that can be used to view the matches from the World Cup and view them from each player's perspective, as well as free camming the whole event. If you want to be good at Mercy, go watch Anemo. You know, go watch individual players. If you want to be a good main tank, go watch Fusion. Go watch South Korea and how they work out, why they make certain decisions. It's fantastic to see. I'm sure we're going to see more and more coaches and analysts use the Spectator client to really further deliver, but it's going to be fantastic. Now, you've come to the end of Early Late Nights for today. This has been Early Late Nights, your esports podcast right here on the Explosion Network. Make sure if you want to keep up with all the news I was tweeting out about the World Cup, follow us on at Explosion Pod for our Twitter account for the Explosion Network, or at your boy Ringo to follow me more closely and hear about my ranting, some random thoughts throughout the day. If you want to follow the channel, make sure you hit that heart button right here on Twitch so you know, and make sure you hit the notifications so you know every time we go live or when there's different shows available on Twitch, it'll tell you, it'll let you know. If you have Twitch Prime, chuck us a subscription, be involved with the show. It'd be really good to see you. Make sure you chat and hang out every time. This show goes live every Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. right here on twitch.tv/explosionnetwork, where we talk all things esports, esports news, esports events, esports random bits of gossip, or Kieran tries to randomly be funny, but whatever. If you can't be here live for the show, don't worry about it. We'll be here. The video on demand will go up on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/explosionnetwork, 7 p.m. on the Wednesday and the Saturday. Make sure you subscribe there and hit that notification bell for when you know when we publish any of our videos or any good podcasting services. Once again, like, subscribe to it. 5-star review it. Say, Kieran, you're dreamy looking. Thanks. And I would appreciate that. But thank you very much for joining me. Make sure you stick around for nothing tonight. But make sure you tune in. Tune in to Early Late Nights on Friday night. If you've got podcasts, listen to our new gaming podcast, Arcade Couch, which we release every Saturday. I'm recording that later today, so that'll be fun. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me. Make sure you get good at your games that you love. And make sure have some fun at the same time, hey? Also, don't be toxic. Maybe be a little bit. Anyway. See ya.